Are you a business looking to do targeted marketing? There's no better geo-targeting company than Enradius. Enradius has superior audience data and can help drive customer engagements. Visit enradius.com to inquire.
Good morning, I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. Climate change, cancer therapies, genetic engineering, space exploration, all important and timely topics that can engage the imagination. But sometimes sifting through jargon and scientific terms to stay current can be overwhelming. 4 years ago, Johns Hopkins University graduate students formed Project Bridge to span that information divide. They see it as a two-way street. The nonprofit works to engage adults and children in science activities and also to improve the ability of scientists to communicate ideas to the public. One of the nonprofit's approaches is a day of interactive celebration of the inner workings of what they call, quote, that mysterious squishy pink organ housed in your cranium, close quote, that is, your brain. The day is called BrainFest, and it's coming up tomorrow at Liberty Rec Center in West Baltimore. The co-presidents of Project Bridge, both graduate students at Johns Hopkins School of Medicine, Mei-Ling Mei and Kevin Monk, join us to talk about the array of programs the group offers and to give us a preview of what's on tap for its second annual BrainFest. Mei studies biochemistry and cellular and molecular biology in the Department of Molecular Biology and Genetics. Welcome, Mei-Ling.
Thank you.
Monk studies in the Solomon H. Snyder Department of Neuroscience. Welcome to On the Record.
Hey, thank you for having us.
Mei-Ling, let's start with your research. What should we know about your research?
I'm in more of a molecular biology lab, and my research focuses on the immune system, and in particular, the process how we make antibodies. And so our immune system has this beautiful way of fighting off all these foreign invaders. And the way they do this is through production of antibodies. And the proteins that are involved in producing these antibodies are actually highly regulated. So what we study is how, when this protein is actually misregulated, how it can lead to leukemias and lymphomas, and mostly in young children.
What are the programs Project Bridge conducts for young people?
For the younger students, one of our most recent programs that we piloted is called Science Outside the Lines. It's an after-school partnership program with Henderson Hopkins Elementary School, as well as the nonprofit Art with a Heart. And this is a science after-school program where we teach scientific concepts through the use of art. And so the idea behind it is we're trying to engage younger members of the community in science before they're already turned off by the didactic way that science usually is taught. And so we're trying to get the creativity involved and show kids that science and art are very similar, and then you can learn science by doing art.
Science and art are very similar.
They are. Yes, there are a lot of ways they're similar. For example, if you were to look at a scientist lab notebook, it often resembles an artist sketchbook. And then the creative process that goes through the scientific method actually parallels the artistic method quite closely as well. And so in our first lesson, when we have the new cohort of students, is we tell students, we have a little PowerPoint where we just show different slides with different images. And all of the images, we ask them, is this science or is this art? And there's always like a 50-50 with the hands in the air because you don't really know. So for example, we'll have like a section of the brain with different neurons colored in different colors. And we'll be like, is this science or is this art? And some people will think it's just paint and they'll say, this is art. And others will be like, that's something that sells. So that's science. And so we have a lot of different images like that to try to get them thinking about it.
What else do you do with young people?
Other than Science Outside the Lines, we are at the Waverly Farmers Market. We do that in the summertime or during the warmer months, and we have scientific demonstrations for students of all ages. And so we also engage adults, but a lot of our demonstrations are geared so younger children can be involved with them as well. So for example, for that, we did like acid-base chemistry for one of them, and we sent all of the kids that stopped by with little homemade lava lamps, where they had an Alka-Seltzer tablet with some water and oil and food coloring, and so they could watch the acid-base reaction happen in this little test tube and take it home with them.
And you said that can involve adults also. Do you have some programs specifically for adults?
Yes. So we have Baltimore Science Cafes, and so those are geared more towards the public audience here that are probably high school or older. And that's where we have local professors either from University of Maryland, Johns Hopkins, or other neighboring universities. They give research talks about their own research geared in a chalk talk format. And so the whole purpose of it is to try to bring their scientific research to the public in a way that's more accessible than reading their published journal article in Nature or Cell. And so these are chalk talks, so they aren't allowed to use slides. They have to hand draw whatever diagrams they're doing. So it's a way of making it more accessible. And it's followed by a question and answer session where anyone from the community can ask questions about it.
Kevin, what is your research focus?
I am, as you mentioned, a neuroscience graduate student, and I am interested broadly in how the brain represents the external world. And when different things that we see or hear or feel, when that comes to mean something more than just the physical parameters. So if I see a flash of light, it means that I'm about to get a chocolate cookie. I'm interested in what are the neural representations of that flash of light.
What are the neural representations?
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. So how does the brain represent this stimulus, which I know is a flash of light, but also I know means that I'm going to get a reward in a little bit. So how is it that it goes, how is it that the brain represents this stimulus outcome pairing? And that's the focus of my research.
Why did you become involved with Project Bridge?
As a scientist, I often had the problem of trying to describe my research in a way that is accessible, and I still struggle with this. And the whole point of Project Bridge is to train scientists to be better communicators and also to help non-scientists understand basic science concepts and realize that science is not this mysterious black box of facts and knowledge where it's much more accessible, it's much more exciting than just a table of facts.
It's not obvious to me now that you're initiated into this sort of what is to some of us a secret world of advanced science. That's kind of a cool place to be. Why do you care whether other people think it's hard to understand?
Yeah, well, I think you bringing up a great point that it is a really exciting place to be and a cool place to be. And so a lot of the questions that I'm asking are very similar questions to what other people are asking. They're founded in why is the world like this? How does this happen? The big questions that we're asking, we just distill down with jargon and with specific research topics. But overall, the questions that I feel I'm asking are very similar to questions that anybody would ask.
This is On the Record on WYPR. I'm Sheila Cast, speaking with Kevin Monk and Mei-Ling Mei, co-presidents of Project Bridge, talking about how to break down communications barriers between scientists and the public. Kevin, tell us about BrainFest.
So this is our second annual BrainFest. It's occurring tomorrow from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Liberty Elementary School Recreation Center. We have a whole day of events planned. We have a mixture of hands-on demonstrations, a couple of community partners, and informal science lectures from local neuroscientists to talk about their research in much the same way that Mei-Ling was talking about earlier about the science cafes, where it'll be a chalk talk that's followed by a question and answer session.
Okay, so people can learn about topics. What else can they do at BrainFest?
In addition to learning about topics, they can participate in any one of our hands-on activities to learn more about how their senses work or how their brain works in general. So we have an exciting setup of demonstrations, one of which is about how the sense of smell and the sense of taste come together to create flavor. So I'm not sure if you've had a Skittle with a cold before, but it's very difficult to tell what flavor is a Skittle if you don't have the ability to smell. So if I give you this purple Skittle and ask you to close your eyes and close your nose, it's very difficult to tell that it's a grape. However, as soon as you open your nose, you have this amazing sense of smell. It's called the retronasal olfaction, which means that it just goes from the back of the mouth through the nose, and now you can smell it in ways that you couldn't before. And then this coordinated activity of the taste system and the smell system gives rise to a flavor. So we'll have different hands-on demonstrations about how flavor comes about, how different odors come together to make new odors.
Mei-Ling, what is your favorite part of BrainFest? What are you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to the Escape the Brain activity. And so the Escape the Brain rooms open all day, and it happens in parallel with the chalk talks. And so the idea is all the kids, while their parents or older adults might want to go to the more intellectual chalk talks, we bring the kids into this room, and it's kind of like a magic school bus experience where we tell the kids that they're going to go on this adventure with Mrs. Cerebellum. And so Cerebellum is like a part of the brain, so she has a little bit of a pun in her name. And they get shrunken down, and they get sucked into her brain, but they can't remember how to get out. And so they have to go puzzle through puzzle trying to learn all the different parts of the brain and gather clues on how to actually get out of the brain. And so it's modeled after these escape rooms that are really hot right now. And so a lot of people like those. And so we piloted it last year. And Cody Call, one of our volunteers who pilots the BrainFest program, he actually came up with this all on his own with the help of his committee members as well. But we're really grateful to have him and his creativity. And I had a really fun time going through it. So I think a lot of the children will as well.
Our Project Bridge programs also about encouraging people, especially young people, to enter the field of science?
We would hope so. So growing up and going through the normal education system, science is taught as just this list of facts or a formulaic way to ask a question. And though there are aspects of that in science, as we were mentioning before, there's a lot of creativity that's involved, and a lot of scientists are very creative-minded individuals. And we think that if we expose kids to that idea that you can be creative and be a scientist. In fact, we need creative scientists to think of interesting ways that, in my case, the brain might work, or in Mei-Ling's case, how antibodies are created.
Mei-Ling, why is it important to court the public's interest in research and science?
In general, I think, one, we have a responsibility to, because a lot of the research that we do as researchers is funded by the public. And so it's our responsibility to share with the public all of the knowledge that we're gaining, the reason why we're doing this, how we're doing it, so that they can understand and feel a connection with what their tax dollars are going to. So I think that's one reason. Going along with the question that you just previously asked, I really think science needs more diversity of thought. And so way too frequently, there are students that are weeded out way too early if they don't learn well from a lecture-style format or different small things like that that can really turn people away from the sciences too early. And so I think by engaging the public and showing them that science can be fun and that they can engage in it in a hands-on way, that we can attract more of those minds into the scientific field. And then we're going to be able to address all of these new problems because we'll have different perspectives addressing that problem.
Well, it sounds like a lot of fun. I appreciate your telling us about it. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Kevin Monk studies in the Solomon H. Snyder Department of Neuroscience in the Johns Hopkins School of Medicine. Mei-Ling Mei is in the Department of Molecular Biology and Genetics. They are co-presidents of the nonprofit Project Bridge. We've been talking about how they work to break down communications barriers between scientists and the public. BrainFest, one of their projects, runs from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. tomorrow at the Liberty Rec Center, 3901 Main Avenue in Baltimore. We have links to all the information at the On the Record page at WYPR.org. I'm Sheila Cast. After a break, a Stoop story. Stay with us.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks.